Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Oh, hello, and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne, again.
Oh, hello. It's like, I love that. No, I like that. I'm going, oh, hello. It's me, Ellie Gibson. Excellent. Lovely to be here.
Yes, and we are joined by a wonderful guest, Pete Mattesi. Okay, so Pete, he's here tonight because you're a dad, you're a soap writer, you write for both EastEnders and Neighbours, and you're a tennis fanatic and champion.
Yeah, for the first time in like 10 years, I won the men's Section 1 singles at Kahuna.
At Kahuna. Yeah.
Not Kahuna.
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 Which for those of you who don't know,
that's it.
Is a small town on the Murray in Victoria in Australia that has an Easter tennis tournament every year on their grass courts, as all those towns do.
And on what, the Murray? Did they name it after Andy?
Yes, they did. They named that major river in Australia after a tennis player.
Yeah. And what did you win?
Oh, look, my prize was a fishing lure bag. Because the prizes are donated by the local shops in Kahuna, so you might get like a sports bag or a jacket or a tennis bag or
I've got tube socks,
I've got like floodlights before or an extension cord or something. So this year I got a lure bag that is a waterproof bag that opens up and has all those little plastic compartment boxes that everyone opens it up and went, what the f*** are these? And that's for your lures and your things. And everyone's like, I can put my earrings in them. They'll be really useful for that.
Oh, very good.
So useful. I must say, I've been looking for somewhere to put my lures for months now. They're just lying around the house. It's a nightmare. Have you ever been fishing?
I've never been fishing in my life. However, I hate fishing, but I do like bags very much. And it's a nice... But it's actually quite a good overnight bag. Once you take out the plastic lure cases, it opens up widely and it's terrific. So I'm very pleased with that.
Have you ever owned a bum bag?
I have actually owned a bum bag. Do they call them bum bags here?
Yeah, they do.
I should maybe explain. So when Helen and I were rehearsing our recent stage show, we were having quite an intense rehearsal, and I think I was sort of pacing around the kitchen going, oh, I don't know what to do with this character, and I don't know what about, and Helen just went, you must wear a bum bag. I just laughed so hard I actually fell over a chair. And it's just like, what are you talking about?
No, because she has some props, and she's like, oh, I've got to pick these props up. And I was like, wear a bum bag!
You must wear a bum bag!
The thing is about bum bags is they're actually really good and useful and aren't amazing. They? And if they weren't so socially unacceptable to wear, we would all wear them all the time.
They're just there where your hands are.
Exactly.
And suddenly I feel outnumbered by Australians.
Swing them around the back.
That's
if
fine.
If you need the
if you're
space.
Riding a bike.
People, this is the culture you brought to this country, bum bags.
When I was in Italy, for the first time I went to Italy, when I was a young'un, it was in the summer of 2001, maybe, and it was big in Italy in 2001 for young men to wear bum bags slung across their shoulder, diagonally across the front of them with the bag in front, and... We laugh about it, but it was actually a really practical way to carry around your wallet and stuff.
Yeah, close to your person. Like close
and you
in.
Just, again, swing it around the back.
My dad, who is 66, I think, a few years ago, he went through a phase of, like, having a bum bag, but rather than slinging it across the body, he would sling it over one shoulder like a handbag. With his glasses and his little mobile phone. And his
man bag. Very nice.
Yeah, that's it. We called it a man bag and took the piss out of him so relentlessly. I think he had to give it
shamed,
up in the end.
Shamed. Yeah, yeah. Oh, God.
Good times.
There we are.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Can I just say that as all British children who were born in the late 70s, Neighbours was a huge part of my growing up, and I haven't actually watched it for about 20 years, and I miss it.
I wonder if, because that era when it started in mid-80s, 86, 87 here, and it was so big, and so there's a whole, like you say, a whole generation who watched it at uni and have really fond memories of it. I wonder if that's going to exist anymore. I don't know if it's the same thing people watching it now.
Like The Simpsons.
Talking to people like you who grew up with it, it was like this window into this completely foreign but sort of strangely familiar, very sunny, very different world. And particularly because you had soaps like Corrie and EastEnders that were so relentlessly grim. To have Neighbours where it's the sun shining and people have swimming pools and the stories are like, Harold's cooking pasta sauce and he puts salt in it. And then he goes to the loo and Lou puts some salt in the... Yeah. And then Madge puts some salt in it and they eat it.
What have you so done, Harold? Salty. What have you done?
And that's the story.
Over-salted again.
I saw her on... She was on Doctors recently.
Golem.
Anne Charleston playing Golem. Yeah.
Funny.
She was always bitter that we killed her off in Neighbours. Not we. I wasn't there when we did it. But no. That they killed her off. Always bitter.
I have actually, this is a surprise, I haven't mentioned this to you guys before we start recording, I have actually brought a historical artifact out of my loft to show you. I have here the original The Sun newspaper Neighbours collection sticker album.
Oh my God!
35 pence, £53 in Ireland.
Oh. Now, if you'd like to explore it, you'll notice I've written this, it's got a little thing, this album has been completed by, and I've written, this album has been nearly completed by Ellie Gibson.
Oh, that's
so good. Because I was three stickers short. I'm missing a Stefan Dennis, a set of Kylie's legs, but look, there's Des. Do you remember him, Married to the Stripper, terrible car crash, poor Daphne.
Yeah, poor Daphne.
I love you, Clarky.
Me and Stefan Dennis share the same birthday.
Oh my God.
Really?
Yes. She's obsessed with this fact. She loves it. She brings it up every podcast. Stefan Dennis. It's fascinating, isn't it?
And Henry Winkler, the Fonz.
Really? Yeah. I'm Mariah Carey and Quentin Tarantino.
Oh, Ellie?
Together at last.
I'm not really that interested, so I've never really given it much thought. It's because it's coincidental.
Have you heard
of
this thing of the internet?
Yeah, have you heard of this thing called random chance? It's kind of similar.
Oh my God. So
Shane's left the street now, but he was very popular with the ladies, and these hunky pictures show why.
There's one of him in London, and it says, here's Shane attending a showbiz party, and they've capitalised the S and the P on showbiz party, just in case you didn't get how showbiz that party
this
was.
This would be worth millions now,
I think it is. I think that's why I must have kept it all these years.
Oh, wow.
And here's Peter, who played Shane, dancing in a string vest in Trafalgar Square with the pigeons.
Here's a photograph of Kylie and Jason, the Logies, with Golden Girls star Bea Arthur. With a look of unimaginable disdain on her face.
Who are these people?
Who are they?
You are nobody. I am somebody. I auditioned for the part of Madge.
And I love this.
Stefan Dennis!
This is a whole double page spread devoted to Stefan Dennis' style.
Snappy dresses.
There he is in his waistcoats. That was his trademark look.
Oh my God, that looks like Alan Partridge. That's Jason Donovan as a young Alan Partridge.
What
an amazing artifact.
I think you need to...
And a Neighbours word search.
Yeah, which I've completed.
Bouncer!
Also, there's a Neighbours quiz, there's no answers, but I've clearly marked it myself because I knew all the answers anyway, and then I've given myself 30 out of 30.
Well done.
Oh, very nice. We should do that quiz later.
Should I do a few on you now?
Yeah, all right.
When Scott sold his car to get the deposit for a flat, how much did he get? A, £1,000. B, 2,000 Aussie dollars. C, nothing. What was Paul's job before he managed Lasseter's complex?
Flight attendant.
Oh!
Back
the other
net.
Options, you could have had racing driver or sailor. I can see Stefan Dennis as a racing driver. I really can. What is Harold Bishop's favourite dish? Is it A, rump steak, B, liver and onions, or C, roast lamb?
Isn't he a vegetarian?
He's a vegetarian.
Correct. And the 10-year-old me has written none. Little felt tip.
He was always having quiche, wasn't he?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, final question. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Mrs. Mangle fell off a ladder in Des's nursery and suffered what? A, a loss of memory. B, broken ankle. C, bit tongue through and couldn't speak for a week.
I'm sure it was the ankle.
Please be C.
So your final answer?
I'm sure it was ankle.
It was the memory loss.
Oh, that's awesome.
You've forgotten it, ironically.
Oh, yeah.
So well, that was the neighbour's quiz. I tell you what, should I stop talking about neighbours so that maybe we can do like the proper serious interview right. that we're supposed to do
yes.
about a serious parenting topic?
That's all right.
Rather than an old television programme that I used to like.
Oh, it's still going? Not yeah. old?
Okay, so let's do the serious interview. it's just the right atmosphere in here for that. So, yeah, Pete, tell us about your family.
So I have my wife, Thea, who I've, you know, known for a long time, obviously. And we have a 15... Not obviously.
I don't know.
We met her last week.
We got drunk in Vegas. And,
well, we're stuck with it. And we have a 15-month son, Artie, who's Arthur.
And so he's born in Melbourne, but where was he conceived?
He was conceived in a laboratory on, like, the second floor of the Freemasons Hospital in Melbourne.
Oh, very nice.
Oh,
in a very
sexy.
Romantic setting. Involving neither Theo nor myself.
All right. Okay. Oh. So you didn't like dress up as the nurse and the doctor?
No, unfortunately, no, not kinky.
No.
He was IVF baby.
So, yeah. So did you like go and come on, let's get down to the nitty gritty.
Yeah. All right.
Did you go in the little room?
Into the little room.
Do you get a little room? It's not just a curtain or a...
No, it's a little room and it has a... Like
is
a
it
lock,
low light? Low light?
A lock, no, no. Like harsh hospital
oh,
lock.
Oh, no.
Like, but a lock on the door.
Yeah.
And, you know, like a toilet. Door, yeah. Toilet door
like
lock
bacon.
That has
that
a turn that says engage but yeah. there's a
was there a hand dryer
there was a massive sign on the door saying unlocked locked right? You don't want to cock that up, you know, they're like don't make sure you lock this
nice
door
choice of phrase
because we don't want to walk in here when anything's happening.
No.
So you go in there and you produce your sample, which is the phrase that they use.
Mm-hmm.
And then you sit there and wait an appropriate amount of time so you know, don't walk out and go, they go, that was quick.
We've
never had anyone do it that fast before. So you sit there and you wait and you go, you know, a few minutes. And then out you go and you give your little jar to the lady at the desk and that's my job done.
And you write your name
on it.
Beforehand.
Oh, yeah. And that's my job done.
Wow.
So I had a friend who did it and he said there was like a filing cabinet of porn and it said like, gay, straight, mixed.
Like, what?
So we did it. I did all the... Because we tried for a long time to have a baby the normal way, the old-fashioned way,
yeah.
And didn't have any success. So we, while we were living here, we did all the tests at the UCH. And the quality of the pornography on the NHS is just far inferior to what
oh,
you get in the public
do
system.
Do tell, Pete.
So the NHS was like a filing cabinet of the sort of... tawdry magazines, well-thumbed magazines, the sort of thing that you would find like in the park near the tennis courts,
oh,
you know,
nice.
Sort of held together by rain, hopefully.
Yeah, you think it's
and
rain,
the,
yeah.
yeah. As a 12-year-old, it was like, oh my God, what is this amazing treasure trove of dodgy porn that I found in the
paper.
Bushes. But then in the private system in Australia, you walk in and there was like a monitor and a hard drive next to it.
Oh,
it was like,
no
what,
way.
What wonders are in here?
Well, you could have been there for days.
I know.
Give me one more
knocking
minute.
On the door. Been a couple of hours now. I'm just getting in the mood.
It's just a
getting
bucket.
To the bits.
what is it themed into folders? Is it? Like...
I didn't look.
Oh,
I actually didn't look.
Use
no,
it?
No, I didn't use it. In the English one, I thought I should keep up appearances and look. And it was so depressing. It's such depressing porn.
It, is, yeah.
It wasn't joyful, happy porn. It was really, like, kind of miserable.
What's joyful, happy porn? Is that they're, like, wearing bow ties?
Yeah. Flowers that spurt
clown
water.
Shoes.
But, like, in the 70s...
It's annotated by Harry Hill.
This is another...
I watched that.
Oh, that's the market, isn't it?
I'm sorry, you were saying in the 70s.
In the 70s, pornography was fun and 80s... Not fun, but, like... This is one of my special topics, that porn now is so degrading, kind of to everyone involved, mainly to women.
Mm.
Whereas it felt like when I was younger, the porn was sort of, everyone's having a good time,
yeah.
And we're filming it, and so there's something tawdry about it, but, you know, everyone's getting off here and it's good fun,
they're
whereas
smiling.
Now they're smiling and it's enjoyable and...
Yeah.
And
there was so much hair.
And so much hair.
Nobody had to wax anything or spend hours shaving stuff. It was... Nobody was doing topiary or vajazzling. Everyone was just, you know.
It's not like that anymore.
It's like having another allotment. It was just, why not?
Very
just...
low maintenance, but fun. That's the way.
God.
But it's easy. For me, the whole thing is quite easy as the bloke, because really, it's wanking into a cup, and that's it. Mm. And
one man, one cup.
One man, one cup. But for my wife, it's really difficult because it's quite an ordeal. It's like a lot of hormones and drugs and injections and feeling sick and feeling moody and everything about, and getting scanned and all those things, everything really about intrusive. Your cycle is massively intrusive and controlled.
So did it put like a strain on you as a couple going through that process?
Not really. It does on some, but we were quite good. Like some people find it really stressful. It was stressful because Thea was, you know, moody and all the things. They're basically just pumping you full of hormones and completely controlling your cycle.
Mm.
And there's also the pressure of, are we going to get a baby out of this?
Yeah.
Because we've been trying for a long time. We haven't got it. And we had the pressure of, for those of you who don't know, the way it works is you go in there and they basically artificially control your cycle as the woman and they pump you full of drugs so you produce more eggs.
Mm.
And then they pump you full of drugs to stop you ovulating. And then they pump you full of drugs to make you ovulate at the time they want you to ovulate.
Oh,
so they can harvest those eggs. Yeah. And then harvesting them is a proper operation. Like, it's a general anaesthetic. Mm. And Thea goes in and they take the eggs. And when they took the eggs, that we didn't get that many. And then when they put them together in the lab, we got, I think they got 5 eggs. And then we got 3 embryos and 2 of them died. And so we had one chance.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if this one doesn't stick,
you're going to go through it all again.
Yeah, and not some people get like 30 eggs and they might get 10 or 15 embryos out of it. And then they're in the freezer. And so you can go, you know, every month for the next year and not have to go through all those hormones again as the woman.
Mm.
But we didn't have that. So it was like either if it doesn't take, we've got to do all that again, which means Thea has to take time off work. So we were very lucky that the first one took.
Yeah.
But it would have been really difficult if it hadn't. But what is amazing, actually, is when... This is something that you don't get if you conceive naturally, is that in the room when they have the embryo and Thea's in the table with the stirrups and our IVF obstetrician's there and she's like, hi, Thea, how are you? And I'm sitting in the chair next to it holding Thea's hand.
Mm.
They put the microscope slide with Thea's name on it and Artie, who is currently 4 cells, up on a monitor. You know, they've got in the room there and they put on the monitor and they say, is this your name? Just to make sure they're putting the right baby in there, because it has happened in the past that they put the wrong baby in someone.
Oh, wow.
And you see him when he was like 4 cells big on a microscope slide and then they put him in, which is amazing.
That's extraordinary.
And a friend of mine had that in Iceland and they actually give you a photo of the slide.
Wow.
They don't do that in Australia because I think they're like, we don't want to give them a photo in case
it
doesn't take.
Fair enough. That's amazing. And it worked.
Worked. And we didn't think it would. It was, you know, it's obviously trying to conceive when you can't is very stressful and all those doubts you have that, are we ever going to be able to do it? Is it ever going to happen? You get to the stage where you think having babies is something that other people do. It's not something that happens to us.
Mm.
And there's so many stories of people who, you know, we just went on our honeymoon and now we're pregnant. Or, you know, we got to the stage where people had, when we started trying to have a baby, they were saying, oh, no, it's way off for us. We're not going to do it for a while until we're ready with career or whatever. And those people had waited all that time and then started trying and then conceived and then their baby was born in the time that we were still trying. And so that gets really stressful.
Mm.
And so in the awful 2 weeks that you have, which is where they put it in, and it's like, well, wait for 2 weeks now and then we'll see if it happens.
Mm.
You try not to talk about it and you try not to think about it or do anything like that. But we, on the day of the blood test, they do a blood test on 2 weeks, and on the day of the blood test, Thea was starting to get cramps and she's like, oh, I think I'm getting my period. Oh, well, it hasn't worked. And you try and be really happy and, oh, no, it's okay. We'll do it again. It'll be fine. But we'll go in there. And so we went in and Thea's like, I think I'm getting my period, so you probably don't need to do the blood test. And like, oh, why don't we just do it anyway? And so they did it anyway.
Mm.
And then, you know, they ring us back in 2 hours. They say, oh, Thea, you're pregnant. I almost had a breakdown just because of it was just the relief more than anything that this is something that had been
that you didn't have to go back in that cubicle.
To that subpar pornography. But just after all that time to... And you sort of, all those doubts start coming in. Is it ever going to happen? Are we capable of doing it? The relief of it actually happening was just unbelievable. Yeah. And we got to the stage where, I remember it clearly, that friends of ours, we did that Skype conversation. You know, why don't we Skype and have a chat, guys? And, you know, they did that thing which is, we've got some news. And, in like, me and Thea afterwards told me the same thing. Like, in that moment, our stomachs both went, oh, they're going to say they've got a baby. And we don't. And it was the first time that we found we kind of had to fake it. That what we were really thinking is, not f*** you, but this is really sad because we want it so much. We've been trying for so long and you've got it and we don't.
Yeah.
And so it was like, oh, that's so great. But both of us were like, if only that was us.
Yeah.
And that's hard. When your friends come to you and say, hey, one of the greatest things that's ever going to happen to us has happened and you can't be happy for them, that's really difficult. And you feel like a s*** person.
I mean, is there anything you would say to people who, you know, who have got friends who are going through it or family or whatever and...
Just don't ask. We had friends who were really good who never asked, but they had a rough idea of the... They knew we were doing it and they had a rough idea of the timeline in their head. And I remember them putting it together through various snippets of circumstantial evidence. Don't ask.
Talk about everything else.
Talk about everything else.
Talk about neighbours.
And they'll tell you if they want to. Talk about neighbours. But don't ask how's it going. Maybe you can ask how's it going.
Yeah.
Just don't talk about dates.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that's very stressful.
Yeah.
And what about for people who are going through the process themselves?
I would say keep the faith, I suppose. We were lucky because it only took one cycle. And I've known people who've gone through 20 and had success in the end.
Yeah.
But that's a lot. Like 20 cycles is a huge amount. But, you know, those doctors are very, very clever. And they can... I've had friends who have been told, don't even bother. You'll never have children. You can't carry a child and now have them. So, just keep the faith.
Even though I think IVF is very... you know, talked about and it's very mainstream. It is a very, very sensitive issue.
It's also, I found it difficult to even think about doing it because you have in your head, we try to have a child for a while and then there are options if we can't.
Yeah.
And then there are options if that doesn't work.
Yeah.
But once you say, let's look into IVF, you take a step along a timeline, I suppose, or a process that the end of that is possibly we will never have children, and you're a step closer to that.
Yeah.
You've admitted we're having trouble, we need to get help, and that's really difficult to do. If when we first started trying to have children, you had have asked me, would you consider IVF, I probably would have said no, probably not.
So how old is that?
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Artino?
He's 15 months.
Yeah. And are you loving being a dad?
Yeah, he's terrific. Yeah. He's really, really good.
So it's worth it, just about.
Yeah, just about. Just about worth it.
There's times I'm sure you want to take him back.
Yeah, I would love to put him back or something. Put him back on the microscope slide.
Just for a minute. Just for some
I think back to that moment in that little room. I could have just missed. I just in the waste bin.
Yeah. Only the porn wasn't so good in the private sector.
How are you going to, I mean, are you going to tell Artie how it, or are you just going to let him to listen to this podcast?
I had this conversation with a friend of mine the other day who's a teacher, who was saying by the time he goes to school, he should know about how babies are made. And he doesn't have to know all the details, but he should know it takes sperm from dad and egg from mum that come together, that grows into a baby. And you don't necessarily have to explain
The process.
Yeah. But he needs to know that.
Well, you know, me and my husband's also called Pete. You know, we just... One night, you know, we just had a bit of wine, cut a hole in a sheet, and that was it.
That's it.
Bang.
Thank you for sharing all that, Pete.
Both literally and metaphorically.
Yes. So you are a writer of soap. I'll just continue. How long have you been a writer?
10 years. No, 11 years. I think I had my 11-year anniversary the other day of working as a writer.
How do you get started, right? Do you like do you get the address of like the EastEnders director and you just like write him a letter going, I've got this brilliant idea.
I was lucky in the start when I started that Neighbours ran like a traineeship program and so they advertised we want trainee storyliners, who are the people who sit in the room and come up with the stories. And like 15 people sent me the link and said, you should do this, because we were a big Neighbours house. A lot of lucky things happened is that I got it. And then it went well, me back. And so I was spent sort of 4.5 years working for Neighbours in all the jobs. Like storylining and then writing scripts for them, coming back and editing scripts for them.
Doing Madge's hair.
Doing Madge's hair as well, which takes like six people.
So how do you come up with ideas for new storylines? Because EastEnders and Neighbours have been going so long now. Like, surely, like, incest, that's been done, tick, you know.
Yeah, murder. EastEnders hasn't done incest for a while. Neighbours, we trot it out every 4 or 5 years, I reckon, incest. It's actually one of my favourite soap stories.
Why?
Because it's so big. Yeah. Like, it's enormous.
It's taboo.
And it's also joyously soap. Right. You know, you can't really get away with incest in any other type of storytelling.
Or situation.
Yeah, situation.
So, but yeah, like, do you sit around going, be honest, do you sit in the room going, what's the most controversial ratings-grabbing thing we can think of?
Sometimes you do that. But generally you go, you want a big engine, like a locomotive story that's going to drive everything. So, like, a long-lost something or a really big secret that's going to drive everything. And they're hard to come up with, but once you have them, they are fine.
Mm.
And that's your big story every episode. But it's all the other little ones that in soap tend to be domestic stories about a couple who haven't had sex in 2 weeks and they're like, we really should be trying. And then
2 weeks?
Six months. And so the story's about them trying to have sex and everyone gets in the way. Silly little things like that. And so those, you just milk pretty much every experience of your life to try and find a way to get it into a soap opera.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So do you... It's a bit like stand-up comedy, really.
It's exactly the same.
Yeah. We're like, oh, something needs to happen today so I can be funny. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe I'll start fighting my husband. Yeah. He'll say something ludicrous.
Wish I had a more tragic upbringing. I could milk that for years.
Have you ever suggested a plot line and everyone else has gone, no, that's too dark or that's too silly? Or
look, I have one that I've been thinking of for ages, and it's quite... It's not, like, dark in that big EastEnders operatic way, but it's dark in the way that I have friends who have a cat, and this cat has... It eats rubber. It's obsessed... with eating rubber, and so it will sneak out of the house and like come back with a pool noodle that it stole, you know, those big foam things, and it'll eat it, and they're always going to the vet, and so there and this cat stresses them out, right? So from that's like, leave them
like
there,
like a crack addict. It's like, oh, he's on the smack again.
He's on the rubber again. So leave that couple there. I'm not talking about that couple anymore.
Okay,
but I thought about if you had this cat that always got sick,
I love this.
If you had the girl who's got this cat and she loves it because she loves animals. She loves this cat more than life itself. But this cat keeps getting sick. They're always going to the vet. They're always going to the hospital. And it starts stressing her out. And maybe she's got exams or maybe she's doing uni. And all that starts falling by the wayside because she's so stressed about this cat. It's consuming her life. And her boyfriend can see that it's ruining her life and her future, this cat that's stressing her out so much.
Oh, my God.
And so he drowns her. But the story that I've always had in my head is that it's an act of love that he does it. And so you should be thinking, he's doing it because he loves
it. So much rubber, it floats.
But he kills this... But, like, it's so dark because you can kill people in soap operas, but you can't kill animals.
Yeah,
but we had a serial killer on EastEnders who knocked off, like, 4 people, you know, brutally murdered them, but he killed a dog. You didn't even see him kill it. He sort of put it in the canal and the dog floated away. And we got so many letters. We're like, you've gone too far now, EastEnders. He's a monster. Have you no shame? It's like, did you not see the bit where he murdered 3 people in cold blood? But he lets a dog go.
That's a little Achilles heel, a little sort of...
Got a subplot for you.
Oh, go.
So this is a true story. So my mum and dad's dog, Bonnie, who's a lovely dog, not with us anymore, sadly. She has crossed the Rainbow Bridge. My mum took her for a walk to the park and she was like racing off. She was pup greyhound. She was racing around the park. And my mum saw this sort of blue flash sort of emanating from the back of her. And my mum was like, what is that? What is that? And she got a hold of her. And Bonnie had eaten a J-cloth, a whole J-cloth. So, and it was hanging. And she'd swallowed it whole. So my mum had to, in the middle of the park, just like... Like she was doing a magic trick with silk handkerchiefs, just put out this entire J-cloth from the dog's arse in the middle of the park. So that could be like a subplot.
Yeah,
maybe the
tremendous.
Girl with the cat falls in love with the owner of the dog, you see. That's it.
The
I should be a writer. I think that's genius. Oh, you can have that.
Thank you.
That's Ellie's ideas.
In the pocket.
True story. It's real life.
We once, our dog once ate a broken rubber band and we had to pull the rubber band, but it didn't come out like a J-cloth. It pinged. So you had to, you stretched the...
Like Roadrunner.
Yeah. Like, and the dog went...
And then it flipped poo.
It was a messy ending to that.
Surprised you're not writing this all down.
I know, absolutely.
So do you have a favourite character or a favourite family that you like?
In Neighbours, I've always liked Toadie because he's my age. And so
that's
he's
such a
been...
crap reason.
No, but it's because it means that all the stories I've grown with him. It's true. But the stories that have been current in my life, like when Toadie was living
like
in a share house,
you drove
I was living
cliff
in a share
with your
house.
New bride.
Exactly. Let's not mention her. Rest in peace.
Yeah.
But the stories that, you know, when he was in a share house, I was in a share house. He got married and he's got a baby, and I, like, you know, his baby's 5 months older than mine. And so
he's
it's
not real, dude.
I know.
You're
the
putting words in his mouth. I shouldn't have to explain this
he's,
to you.
He's always been my favourite because of that, because he's like mirrored.
Did he buy
me.
You a beer once, Pete?
I know.
Did he hold your hand?
Have you been to the urinals with Toadie? Have you?
No.
Are there any...
Also, Carl and Susan. Let's get away from Toadie.
Okay,
and Susan I love.
Yeah.
Because they're the first time that I wrote something. And it's kind of cool when, particularly when I was young, to be, actors are shit, f***ing actors, they're ruining our stuff again, we're giving them gold and they give us back this.
Yeah.
Which
your
is
acting
not true.
There is amazing, though,
yeah,
by the
so
way.
Yeah, so convincing. But they were the first time that I'd written something and it came back way better than I'd imagined it in my head. And it's like, that's what really good actors can do.
They gave
and
the
sparkle. That's quite exciting.
Yeah.
And they've done that. And seriously, we've given them some shit over the years, to be fair, and it always comes back great.
Are there any characters you secretly hate and you give them really terrible lines?
No, I don't want to name names about characters I hate.
He's still employed,
I'm
Ellie.
Still employed.
I didn't ask you to name them, I just said,
but
are
yes.
there any?
Yeah, there are.
Yeah.
And we had one on Neighbours who I won't name, and she was dreadful, and she had a huge story, and she cocked it up because she was dreadful, and it's like, well... you know, you think you can ruin that story. Here's an even bigger story. Can you ruin that? She ruined it. Well, you ruined that one. Here's an even bigger one. She's got great story after great story. Just ruined them all. And eventually we're like, you know what? It's never going to work. Never going to work. Send her away.
But luckily, her singing career really took off. She's now an internationally famous pop star. So
you heard it first. You know, I like, there was this scene many years ago where Henry Ramsay, getting back to me and my favourite character, he got locked out of the house. Do you remember?
I remember that.
Nude. And he was in the nude and he had to hold his package and, like, dance around the deck.
And for years, we wanted to have more bums.
Yes.
But you couldn't.
Really?
The period that shortage. I was there, it was one of those, yeah.
The Australian bum shortage of 2002.
I'm sure I could Google that and it'll be on YouTube.
But it was like the conservatism of telly kind of goes in cycles, and so bums were all right in the late 80s, and then when I was there in the early 2000s, we couldn't get away with bums, and now you can get away with bums again.
Bums
are everywhere.
Someone's
locked out of the house and they're in the nude and they're going, no, you can't do that. So, like, Henry Ramsay did it 15 years ago. He was nude holding his package. Why can't we do it now? No, yeah. Times have changed.
And he was barely clothed anyway. Otherwise, it was a pair of dungarees and nothing else.
Yeah. That's really old. Do you know what I loved in the 80s? That look of the dungarees, no shirt, just one undone.
Oh, yeah.
With a little nip.
Handy for breastfeeding. That's how I spent 2011, actually. Yeah. Have we
cracked that nut?
Have we?
Yeah. I think we Right. And that's a nice segue into our next game, which is Eat This, Ellie.
Oh, God. This sounds great.
Gag for a gag.
I have no idea what this is. What's going on?
This is gag for a gag. So I've recently visited Australia, very briefly, and I bought back some delicious snacks. Read that.
Arnott shapes. Aussie barbecue meat lovers. I'm a meat lover.
I know.
Meat.
This is a savoury biscuit in the shape of our country.
Without Tasmania, I might add.
Okay, yes. He is married to a Tasmanian, so he would say that. They're baked, not fried.
I have a boyfriend from Tasmania. They know each other, yeah.
They would, actually.
Yeah. They're probably related. We'll talk off air about it.
Is your wife's name Richard?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
That's it. There we are. Taste Australia, Ellie.
Oh, you taste the MSG factory just outside Shanghai. On the back of the packet, it's got games to play on a hot summer's day. Number one, toss the thong. I'm not making it up. That's what it
actually
says. That's a
flip-flop for the UK listeners.
I'm not sure.
A present from my mother.
No. Helen's mum has sent me a Liberty coat hanger.
Look, with a card.
Ellie. Oh, this is and it's so beautifully wrapped.
Yeah, that's how she sells them at the Flinders Fate.
How much?
Oh, lethal.
I don't know.
Thank you so
much. Look, with an echidna. Oh, look. An echidna card.
That is nice.
Oh, to dear Ellie, with love and best wishes from Lee. All the best with Scummy Mummies.
That's what my mum.
Scummy Mummies has got his first padded coat hanger.
I know. Look at the quality of the cotton, Ellie.
No, but in all seriousness, like, look at the stitching. Look at the gathering.
She makes these for free and then sells them, and then all the profits go to the local church.
It's beautiful. Thank you so much, Lee. I'm very touched. I'm really, really touched, and I love it. Well, thank you very much, Lee. That's wonderful. And thank you, Helen, for bringing it all the way back. Did you have any trouble in customs where they were like, what's this coat hanger padded with anyway?
No.
Who brings a padded coat hanger back from Australia?
Right, well, I'm glad you've enjoyed our national food. It's barbecue in a biscuit.
I'm getting quite into them.
Yeah, they're
pretty good, I reckon.
It's like a barbecue in my mouth. That's what it is.
Without the third degree burns.
I guess. So, well, let's play a game. Should we play a game? We
haven't played a game yet. I've called this Cockney or Corker.
Nice, I like that. Nice. It sounds a bit dirty.
The other title for this game is All Right, Governor, Put a Shrimp on the Barbie. Have you seen what I've done there?
You've said it in some sort of weird Israeli accent.
It's the only thing I can say in Cockney is pound a bowl, which is not really that
panda
good.
Bowl?
Shut up!
Who's going to the panda ball?
Off. Pound a bowl. My grandfather was a Cockney. You know,
Why you have such an incredible grasp of his accent.
I know, me and accents. We're not friends. I can only do my own, which is good. Or Indian.
No, don't. Now, Helen, we do have a rule about accents on the podcast. What's the rule?
If it's white, it's all right.
That's right.
Pete Matesi, explain your last name, your last accent.
My last accent?
Your last name, Mattesi.
I'm Italian.
You're
half Italian.
Italian. Oh, okay. Half. Yeah.
You sound surprised. Did you think Mattesi was Dutch?
No, I know that. I'm just for the listeners. They don't know.
It's performance,
I've been friends with
Millie,
you for 16
on.
Years. I know this
I worked that out. I just met him.
So I thought that Ellie and I should do a swapsaroo of accents. So I should do a line from EastEnders and you should do a line from Neighbours.
Yeah, so I want you to do... I was on a stag weekend and one of the guys there found out that I wrote for Neighbours and said... Mate, you've got to do my favourite line ever from Neighbours, ever, the greatest line ever written in any television show, which was someone telling a character called Georgia that they thought that her boyfriend was gay, and it was, Georgia, Scotty's into dudes.
Right. Okay.
Oh, I love that. Okay.
Go.
Georgia, Scotty's into dudes.
Not bad.
I can't.
You've got to say, you're not my mother, and then me and Ellie will say, yes, I am.
You're not my mother.
Wow,
no, that's
so
right, because I am unrelated to Dick Van Dyke.
I got paid a lot of money for that movie.
Mary Poppins. Oh, well, that was a fun game. That was good times. I guess it's time for the...
Scummy Mummy Confessions, after I swallow my glass of wine. Do you want to kick off, Pete?
I'm happy to kick off. My scummy mummy confession is that a while ago I went to give Artie a cuddle and mm-hmm. a bit of a kiss, and he recoiled at my breath, which was not that uncommon. But there's more to this.
Could have been your breasts. Exactly.
recoiled at my breath, and so I thought, okay, obviously I need to go clean my teeth. So I went to clean my teeth, came back out. And he was sitting on the ground with my shoe in his mouth that had dog poo on the bottom of the shoe. So not only would the child that would recoil at my breath is happy to put a dog poo stained shoe in his mouth.
Num num. Oh, quality choices, Artie. Quality choices.
That's lovely. Oh, Helen, what's yours?
Well, I have literally in the last 24 hours come back from Australia on a very long-haul flight. And to survive this long-haul flight, I let my daughter watch 24 hours of Disney.
I think that's perfectly reasonable.
I think long-haul flight, whatever it takes.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're the rules. Feed them
I would
Mentos.
Let my son watch 24 hours of pornography if he was quiet,
just quiet.
For a flight to Australia. That's fine.
So Matilda watched Frozen over and over and again, and then at the end of the flight was speaking an American accent. She's like, oh my God, I can't believe that. Like, and then like, I'd give her like a drink or something. She's like, that is just like the best drink I've ever had. Like, she was just speaking an American accent. I was like, I've ruined her.
Can you imagine? Put your jumper on, Matilda. The cold never bothered me anyway.
But just to level it off, because there was so much joy in her Americanness, she fell asleep and weed again.
Aww.
And fans of the show will know that last time I went on a long haul flight, she weed so much they had to replace the entire seat. And we just thought, look, they'll have our names on file. So what we got, you know those like lovely blankets? You get the free blankets. Yeah. Will and I piled up, because Matilda refused to sit on the wee seat anymore. So we piled up two lots of the blankets. And then Will sat on it. So he looked like a 7'5" man. And then he put the belt on as we were going into the descent and realised the belt was wet.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so he was just ridiculous. He was just this really, really tall man sitting on a wee seat. Oh.
King of the wee blankets. That's me.
The princess and the pea. Yeah. So, yeah, that's a double scum.
Oh, Well, my scummy confession is that while you've been away, Helen, I've discovered like a whole new sort of cultural hub, I'm calling it, that we could take our children to.
Yes.
The specific name is the Bell Green Retail Park.
Bell Green,
that's right, which is Sydenham, obviously, just down by the Sabre Centre. Well, I call it a free zoo. Technically, it's a pets at home. I like, and also this is the other thing, right? It's about 10 minutes walk away and I drive there. And then I didn't mention it to my mum. She has him on Thursday. So I took him on Tuesday and then my mum took him on Thursday.
Unprompted.
Yeah, without knowing that, like,
snap.
You know.
Okay,
yeah.
Like I said, there's this amazing retail park, Ellie. You've got to go.
So that's about it, really.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Pete.
Thank you, ladies.
For sharing.
Thank you for having me.
Soap and... wanking. Thank you.
Plenty of wanking.
That's a nice balance, really, soap and wank, really.
Well, they go together, don't they?
Don't they just? Yeah, hand in hand, let's say.
Thank you.
You were so pleased with yourself when you came up with that.
So
I've
pleased.
Got a great joke, guys. Cop this.
She's been saying that for an hour.
If not 3 weeks.
Many thanks to Lee Thorne for my Liberty coat hanger. I'm so touched. Please do keep sending us in your Scummy Mummies confessions. scummymummiespodcast@gmail.com or on the Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. And thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, and come to our Brighton Fringe show.
Please do.
When is that, girls?
May 10th, 11th. You've done a lot of radio, haven't you, Pete?
Yep.
May 20th,
10th, 11th. I can't
and
wait.
May 26th in Brighton at Upstairs at the 3 and 10.
Yeah, it's like a Saturday, Sunday, bank holiday Monday, and it's at 1 in the afternoon. Mm. So you
and
know.
Reasonably priced as well.
Is very it? How much is it?
$8.50 and $7.
That is cheap.
All that and more. Exacto Mundo. And get in contact with us anyhow at Twitter as well, at Scummy Mummies.
Oh, thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Pete. Have you had a nice time?
I've had a lovely time.
Mm. Oh, have you enjoyed the barbecue shapes?
I've enjoyed the wine. I've enjoyed the barbecue shapes.
Oh.
But most of all, I've enjoyed the company.
Oh, stop.
You and your...
Pretty smooth, ladies. Pretty smooth.
I thought you were going to say the accent. we'll be back in 2 weeks. Until then, bye-bye.
Bye. I did love Henry with his shaggy sheep-like hair. Was,
yeah.
Any particular Henry moment?
Were you a fan
moment?
Of Check 1-2?
Yeah, I was.
Are you?
Hey, Mona.
All right. That was an imitation.
Tell me, Mona, what you gonna do?
Kick you in the face until you stop singing. That's
build
what
a house
do.
Next door to
that's
you.
Right, yeah, and then that, and then that.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.